So it is often said that death is the great equalizer, but data unfortunately tells a different story. In fact, we all face death, but how we get there, when we get there, and you know what type of disease we succumb to often differ according to your socioeconomic status. And that's something that motivated the study. So basically I have two research questions in this study. And because I have very rich data from Taiwan, which has a very rich vital statistics data, the way they set up their data in Taiwan is that everybody has to go to register a birth and a death and household registry, otherwise you don't get the benefits of citizenship. So it's considered very, very complete data, and I have that complete data. So I have a population data of all deaths in Taiwan from 1971 to 2008 and their causes of death. So I'm able to like look at how the trends and these types of amenable mortality rates change over time from 1971 to 2008. So two research questions looking at the temporal trend of amenable mortality rates that I'm going to talk a little bit more about. And also, in Taiwan is coincidentally implemented national health insurance in 1995 to 1996 that virtually guaranteed access to care. And that's an important issue in many countries in the world. And so I thought it was a good opportunity to see whether or not having guaranteed access to care actually changes amenable mortality rates, particularly mortality that's amenable to healthcare interventions. So let's see now. I have no relationships to disclose. We're required to do that. I'm sure you know that. So a little bit more about amenable mortality. It's basically, when I first heard this term, I myself thought mortality is not amenable. I mean, what does that mean? Can you prevent death? But there's a long list of diseases out there that are considered, if you have timely and appropriate medical care or public health measures, you can at least prevent the early or delay the early death from these types of diseases. And it is a great opportunity to study the association between this kind of death, these types of death that are amenable to medical care when you have access to care, before and after you have access to care, based on neighborhood wealth. And this is especially true for amenable death, deaths amenable to medical care. And so again, I just want to remind you, my two central questions in this research is whether or not, the second one is whether or not national health insurance that basically guaranteed health care to all of Taiwan's population from 59% of the population in 1995 to virtually 98%, almost 100% within 1 year, whether or not that changed the relationship between the rich, which are in poor countries, counties in Taiwan, in terms of the types of mortality that are amenable to medical care. And the second thing I did was to look at these temporal trends, just kind of look at the wealth of the data that I have to look at over time how these types of diseases that are amenable to medical care evolved in Taiwan based on the quartile of your income based on where you live in the Taiwan's counties. So why did I study this question? I thought this was very interesting because, first of all, Asia, that includes China, of course, represents 60% of the world population, and yet most of this type of research is done in the West, particularly in Europe and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. So I thought it would be very, very interesting to see whether or not the patterns that we find in other parts of the world also hold in Asia, particularly because there's so many differences in terms of the cultural background, access to care issues, and the institutional background that's very different in the Asian context. For example, most Asian countries do not have what we know as a primary care system, a gatekeeping system for medical care. Anybody can just show up and see a doctor, go directly to a specialist. There are also very different dietary backgrounds. Asian diets, particularly in East Asia, tend to be higher in salt and lower in fat. So it would be very interesting to look at these different types of mortalities in different counties in Taiwan based on their wealth. So, and the other second thing that motivated this research is that, again, coincidentally, there was implementation of national health care in 1995. It was considered a very successful rollout that guaranteed access to almost 100% of the population within 1 year. It's a very generous package. Almost everything is covered under Taiwanese health care. In fact, when I go back to Taiwan to visit my parents, I'm often shocked that it's more expensive to go to the drugstores to buy Tylenol than to make an appointment to see the doctor, and then they give you the Tylenol. So it's a very generous package, and in fact, it virtually eliminated financial barriers to healthcare in Taiwan. And so it would be interesting to see if you take away this financial barrier to access to healthcare, does it change the disparities, if there are any, between the richer and poorer neighborhoods in Taiwan in terms of the mortalities amenable to death, to medical care. So, as I said, we have very, very rich data from the household registry. Death certificates are required within 30 days of death, and if you don't get that death certificate in Taiwan, you're not allowed proper burial. So we consider the data to be very complete and accurate. And we have the population data, every single death from 1971 to 2008. And we also supplemented that with the Taiwan's National Statistics Bureau, which provides household survey data so we can calculate the average income by county and township in Taiwan, of which there are 92, approximately 92 because it changed over the years. So we can place all of these counties within the top quartile and the bottom quartile, in four quartiles, basically. So you're probably thinking, what types of mortalities are amenable to medical care? And there's a long list set up by the concerted action of the economic, I'm sorry, that's the European community on amenable mortality. And there's a long list over here for, and you can see it's mostly types of cancers, hypertension, asthma, some types of infectious diseases. Those are the deaths that are amenable to medical care, and then there are public health measures that can delay or prevent these types of diseases, lung cancer and injuries, and ischemic heart disease is considered amenable to both. So, for example, you can have surgery to correct a blockage in your arteries, or you have public health campaigns such as, you know, low-fat diets. So it's amenable to two types of measures, public health and medical care. So I age standardized all the deaths from the population data in the classic way using the direct method and using the world population in 2000 as the reference population. And then I plotted all these figures over time by gender and neighborhood income quartile. And so I can start showing these pictures to you. But for doing that, I also want to tell you how I detected if there's any change that was brought about by the institution of the implementation of national health insurance. And I use what you call a segmented regression analysis. Basically what I'm trying to look for, and when I want to see the slope of the changes in death every year before the implementation. I want to look at whether or not there's a skip at the year of implementation, so that's represented by the gap over there. And the last thing I wanted to look at, which is represented by beta 3, which is the change in slope of the trends post-implementation relative to the beginning of the pre-period. So remember that B3 is the change in slope. It's not the slope of the third line down, the second line down, but it is the change from the second slope to the first, relative to the first slope. To find the slope for the second period, you just basically add B1 and B3. That will give you the slope of the third period, the post period. So here are some, since I've studied so many diseases, there are lots of tables, and I just thought I'd just present the overall trends that make this more digestible. But basically the story is that by the end of the study period, almost all of the diseases have lower standardized mortality rates in the richer neighborhoods in Taiwan. And in some cases, they're almost like a monotonic difference in terms of the richest are actually the poorest neighborhoods have the highest mortality rates, and the richest have the lowest, and it's like in ranking, strict ranking order. But that's at the end of the study period. But throughout the period, there's been various changes. For example, there are certain types of diseases like gallbladder disease and Hodgkin's disease for men and appendicitis, and you can see this in the list, but they had various ranking orders. They jumped all around because these tend to be mortality rates that are, you know, that are lower than the biggies like hypertension and ischemic heart disease. They jumped around throughout the years, but by the end of the study period, they generally had the lowest ASMRs in the richest townships. And there are some diseases that have always been lower in rich townships, like tuberculosis and asthma and ulcers and for men, and asthma and gallbladder diseases, maternal mortality and tuberculosis and ulcers for women. And number three is the most important point, because these are actually the most significant causes of mortality in Taiwan, and they were initially higher in the richer townships, but by the end of the study period, they became lower in the richest townships in Taiwan. And there are only a few diseases, causes of death, that are still higher in the richer townships. And the one that's most significant, I think, and most interesting, is death from breast cancer among women. They're rising, and they're the only one that's consistently higher in richer townships in Taiwan. So that's an interesting policy question to look at. So I'm going to present several graphs. I have a lot of them, but a picture is worth 1,000 words, so we can go through them very quickly. But I drew a 95% confidence interval around the lines, but remember, I have population data, so these are actually true population differences between the different townships in Taiwan. And the circle represents the poorest counties in Taiwan, and they're always above. And you can see circle, diamond, triangle, square, and it's in a strict ranking order. The richest townships always have the lowest age-standardized mortality rates for causes of death that are amenable to medical care. They're all dropping, but they preserve this ranking order throughout time, almost a 40-year study period. And that's for men, and it's the same picture for the women. There's more of a clustering on the bottom for the richer townships, but the poorest township is always well on top of the other townships. And this is for women, as I said. And then I broke it out for, you know, just too many diseases to look at individually, so I looked at hypertension and ischemic heart disease. Those are the two of the three leading causes of death in Taiwan. And you can see that for hypertension, as I said, initially it was higher in the richer initially it was higher for the poorer counties, but by the end of the study period, it's higher in the poorer counties. And they overtook each other right around 1976 to 1980. And it's going down, and you can see it's going down right around 1981, and that's well before, remember the second question was well before the implementation of national health insurance. So it was going down even before national health insurance was implemented. And that's for men, and for women, that's the same story, but less exaggerated. It was going up. There was an overtaking by the lower, the poorer counties in around 1980. It was going up, and then it started going down right around the 1980s. And this is for hypertension. And for ischemic heart disease, now this is also a reversion where the poorer counties had lower mortality rates in the beginning and then higher at the end. And the second thing I want to draw your attention to is the fact that 1991-95 is a point where we saw a dramatic drop in death due to ischemic heart disease in the poorest townships, and that's when national health insurance was implemented. And the same thing for women. Again, it started to moderate around 1986-90, but it also dropped in 1991-1995. And it's going down, but relative to the men, I just wanted to point out that for the poorest townships in Taiwan, it's going back up again since 1996 to 2000. So I just wanted to show you some regression results on the impact of the implementation of national health insurance on amenable mortality. And remember, the first coefficients pre-NIH trend, that would be, you can think about it as a slope, and they're all basically negative and significant. So they were all falling even before the implementation of national health insurance. If you look at change in trend post-NIH, that's the third line down, it's not always negative. There's one negative, but it's not statistically significant for the men living in the poorest township, and that would be the first column. But it doesn't show a particularly encouraging trend that the implementation of national health insurance reduced amenable deaths in Taiwan, neither in the richest nor the poorest counties. And breaking this out for specific diseases, hypertension, again, you see that pre-trend, all negative and significant. That means it's falling already before the implementation of national health insurance. And in fact, you see the third line down, change in trend post-NHI, that's a positive thing. But remember, that is the change in the slope. So what it's showing is that if you add, for example, negative 4.222 plus 3.969, it's still a negative number. So it's still falling, but the fall has there's a deceleration in the reduction. That's the way you read this. So the only encouraging thing I found out of this whole thing was that in panel C, ischemic heart disease, you see that there was a dramatic skip of a drop of 14.27 deaths in the poorest township. And that is corroborated by the figures that you see over here, that you find a big drop right around here in 1991 to 95. And then we also see that besides the big reduction, a level reduction in 1991 to 1995, there's also a reduction in the rate of the fall afterwards. So it's negative 1.301 in the first column, panel C, change in trend post-NHI. And again, remember, 2.347 plus negative 1.301 is still a positive number. So what it shows is that it's still going up, but at a slower rate. That's the way to read this. So that's hypertension and ischemic heart disease. So I just want to say a few words about what this study adds. It's one of the few studies that confirm an income gradient and amenable mortality in the Asian population, and that the types of mortality disparities are different in Asian countries. Not surprisingly, it's not ischemic heart disease. That's consistently the highest mortality differences in Western countries, but in Taiwan, at least, it's hypertension. Other research has shown that to be the case in Japan and Korea as well, generally attributed to the higher salt intake of the Asian diet. And the second thing that it showed was injuries. The modes of anybody who's visited an Asian country with, especially Taiwan where I grew up, there were lots of motorcycles, and that's the second leading cause of death, amenable death, because it's amenable to public health measures like safety laws and helmet laws. And in fact, I didn't show this in my graph, but in 1997, Taiwan implemented a helmet law that reduced the deaths that were attributed to injuries. Some of the major sources of mortality disparities in Taiwan, hypertension, again, because of the high salt diet in Taiwan and in Asian cultures in general. One thing I did show in this paper is that, my time is up, but I just want to say that I want to head to the very end. See, I only had two more slides left, but my two points in this study is that there's an income gradient that existed in Taiwan, and it continues to persist even with the implementation of national health insurance. So basically in Taiwan, if you're poor, you have no financial barrier to healthcare, but that doesn't eliminate the disparities between the rich and poor in Taiwan. And in fact, this has been shown in Canada as well, which also has national health insurance. So the best takeaway we can think about is that perhaps guaranteed access and removal of financial barriers to care can reduce but not completely eliminate disparities in health. And there's so many other issues that we have to think about, education, health literacy. So thank you very much for your patience. Thank you.